Turn to Joshua chapter 6, please. Book of Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to read several verses here in Joshua 6. Familiar account. It is the story of the nation of Israel and Jericho. And we'll use it as our starting point here today. We'll continue with using characters of the Bible as examples for us, and we'll not do an exhaustive study on the life of Joshua, but certainly just this thought in this account that Joshua is an example for us. He's a man of courage, and we're going to consider how it does take courage to serve the Lord in these days and look at some things in the life of Joshua. It'll be an encouragement to you this afternoon. I won't keep you long. We need to have choir practice, and we also need to have ensemble practice after church, and there's children's choir practice right away, immediately following the service as well, okay? Let's read Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day, that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Again, a familiar passage of Scripture, a familiar story. But what we have just read is an amazing account of something that really seemed quite impossible to do. You've all heard of the fame of the walls of Jericho, and whenever the city of Jericho is mentioned, that's probably what comes to people's minds most often, is the walls of Jericho. I did a little study and a little reading about what archaeology has discovered, and I'll just read some some excerpts for you here that I found to be pretty interesting, that kind of paints a picture for us of what it must have been like. The walls of Jericho would have loomed large over the Israelite camp. The city appeared ready for the looming battle of Jericho. We know that the Bible says that Jericho was shut up. No one went out. No one came in. It was because of the people of Israel. It was what I understand too is that the surrounding towns and little villages and so on, they all would have come to the city of Jericho for protection because of the people of Israel. The population of the city would have swelled. It was fortified very well. This city appeared ready for the looming battle of Jericho. From inside the city walls, the people must have surely watched as the Israelite nation crossed the Jordan and set up camp within eyesight. However, it is doubtful that the people of Jericho really feared for their lives. The fortifications of Jericho were massive. And when one hears of the ancient city of Jericho, the first thing which comes to most minds is the famous walls of Jericho. These walls were constructed on a three-tiered plain. The walls started with an earthen rampart or embankment, which ran from ground level upwards on an incline to a stone retaining wall, the second tier. The stone retaining wall would have stood 12 to 15 feet in height on top of an earth embankment and as much as 12 feet thick. So you got a three-tiered plane of these walls. And it starts with an earthen embankment going up to these walls, which would have been 12 to 15 feet high and at the base 12 feet wide. On top of that stone retaining wall would have stood another wall made of mud bricks, 6 feet thick and up to 20 to 26 feet high. Together, these two walls combined to form a fortification 32 to 41 feet high. To put this into perspective, envision a four-story tall building. Such was the height of the walls of Jericho. On the other side of the double wall, the embankment would have continued to climb upwards. The third tier was at the very top of the embankment, where yet another mud brick wall would have stood. At their base, the walls of Jericho stood 46 feet high above ground level outside the retaining wall. To the Israelites below, Jericho would have seemed impenetrable. The illusion created by the two walls on the bottom and the large wall at the crest of the embankment seemed to stand nearly 10 stories in height from ground level. From this height, the walls must have looked like a mountain, and the Israelites must have seemed like ants. Surely they were deemed no threat whatsoever. You can sort of envision some of that. This is what archaeology states, and of course I wasn't there and we weren't there to see it exactly, but archaeology has uncovered some things, and it seems to correlate with what the text says, that the people would go up into the city, every man in front of him, onward. The point is, though, what was the undertaking here seemed impossible. And sometimes hard things or things that seem impossible are asked of us in the Christian life. Now, if we were to do a little interacting here, what would be some hard things? Things that are hard for us in the Christian life. We'll do this to keep you awake here, all right? Pay attention. Somebody give me something that's a hard thing in the Christian life. Maybe not as impossible as with the walls of Jericho, but nonetheless still hard things. Anybody? Come on, it's okay. I know, it's breaking the tradition of the elders. All right, Cara. Witnessing. That's a really good one. I think everybody here, if you're honest, would say that witnessing sometimes is a hard thing. How many of you just love to go and introduce yourself to someone brand new that you've never seen before and begin to present the gospel to them? I like it, but no. I don't really, honestly. It's easy to witness to somebody who's really open, right? Someone who comes to you and says, "What must I do to be saved?" It's real easy to share the gospel and witness to them, but being a regular witness for Christ, especially with people who don't like you, or you perceive that they don't, it's a hard thing. How about having to say no to your flesh. It's not easy, is it? How many of you just like, yeah, I've got that under control. It's easy for me to say no to my flesh. It can be a hard thing. Saying no to peer pressure. That can be a hard thing as well. Especially in good Baptist circles. Sometimes in the Christian life, there are hard things that are asked of us, and yet the Lord gives us a command or asks of us to do these things. Going to take the city of Jericho from a human perspective or a fleshly perspective was not an easy thing. Not at all. And I think that we can learn some lessons and find some encouragement from the life of Joshua. And we use the story of Jericho as a starting off point. And the message of the lesson this afternoon will come out here, and you'll understand it in just a little bit as we begin to look at the life of Joshua. But what do we know about Joshua? Joshua was the great military leader of Israel. He took the tribes into the promised land. We know that. He drove out the pagan inhabitants of the land. He established the tribal divisions in Israel. But what is it that stands out about Joshua the most? In my mind, and maybe in yours too, Joshua's courage is something that stands out in my mind. Courage to live for God, courage to serve the Lord, courage to obey God in spite of opposition. Joshua had a lot of opposition in his work for the Lord, and even some discouragement at times, especially from his own peers. We'll talk about this in a little bit, or at least some of it. But you remember that Joshua was one of the 12 spies to go and spy out the land. And remember that 10 of those were absolutely against it. 10 of those were saying it's impossible to do. 10 of those were completely defeated. And what was Joshua? Joshua's position was, no, the Lord promised. The Lord gave us this. The Lord said that He was going to give us this land. Let's go. Let's do this. There was times when his peers would have been discouraging, and yet Joshua had courage to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to obey the Lord. We find this issue of courage in the life of Joshua an ever-present thing. Go to Joshua chapter 1. And note in Joshua 1, in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Three times in these verses, Joshua is told to be strong and of a good courage. And it takes courage to live for Christ in these days. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And then in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul, talking to Timothy, speaks of the persecutions which he suffered, and then he goes on to tell Timothy, don't be surprised when it happens to you too, because all who are going to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. That doesn't sound like fun. But to serve the Lord anyway, in spite of the persecution, It takes some courage to live for Christ. It takes some courage to serve the Lord in this age when God is hated and people have no time for God. Listen, we don't fight a physical war like Joshua may have, but we fight spiritual battles. And it takes courage. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And the next verse says, "Stand therefore." We're commanded to stand in these evil days, in the face of persecution. It takes some courage to do that. Ultimately, Joshua's courage was not in himself, but in God and His Word. In Joshua 1 and verse 8, we find God saying to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Ultimately, Joshua's courage was not in himself, but in God, in God's promise, in God's Word. Joshua understood where success and victory would come from. And so the purpose of the message this afternoon is simply to see an example of courage in the life of Joshua, the same kind of courage that we all need in order to serve the Lord. And how can we have it? How do we get it? Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, pray that you just encourage us with your Word and this example in the life of Joshua today in just these few short moments. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to stand in these evil days and be determined to do right and to live right and stand firm on the Word of God with boldness and to see where our success and where our strength comes from. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want you to see that Joshua's courage was a courage which is proven. A courage which was proven. We see God putting Joshua into this place of leadership over the nation of Israel. But long before the Lord ever called Joshua or put Joshua in this position of leadership to lead the nation of Israel and the armies of Israel, God had proven Joshua's heart and Joshua's courage prior to this. Back in Numbers chapter 27, we see God putting Joshua into this place of leadership in Numbers 27 and verse 15, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hands upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." You see the heart of Moses toward the people of Israel? He had a shepherd's heart. He loved the people, and he knew it was his time. And he says, and he prays to the Lord, put a man over them who's going to love them, who's going to lead them, who's going to shepherd them, protect them, who's going to go out and in before them so the people aren't like sheep having no shepherd. And God said, take Joshua, because in him is that spirit. In him is that heart. And we see God putting him in this position. But long before that ever happened, God had already proven Joshua's heart and got Joshua's courage. It was proven, first of all, in Joshua's faithfulness with where he was. In Exodus chapter 17, go back there. Joshua proved himself faithful early on In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You know this story, and oftentimes we look at this story, and it's been preached this way many times. You know, the two men that held up Moses' hands, and faithful men, which is good, and you can make that application. But a lot of times what's overlooked is Joshua in this passage, and how Moses said to Joshua, you choose out men for us, and you go and fight with Amalek. What I get from that is Joshua must have been a trusted man in the eyes of Moses at this point. Moses wasn't the one picking out the people. He said to Joshua, you go do it for us. He obviously trusted Joshua. And there's no way that he would have trusted Joshua if Joshua had not already proven his faithfulness prior to this point. It was proven with his faithfulness, and he was a well-trusted man by Moses. We read that in verse 9. But you know what? What else is here? Joshua's submissiveness and his obedience to the man who is in authority over him. Because verse 10 says, And Joshua did so. Joshua did what Moses told him to do. Joshua was obedient. And listen, what I'm simply saying here is that Joshua proved his faithfulness. He was tested. He was given opportunities to serve. And he did it faithfully. He proved himself to be a faithful man. He was obedient and submissive to his authority. And in so doing, he was being prepared for what God had for him next, what was coming. God gives us opportunities to serve. God gives us a place to serve the Lord inside of the local New Testament church. And there needs to be those Aarons and those Hurs that hold up the man of God. But you know what? There needs to be all kinds of Joshuas too. People who are faithful in what God has already given them to do. Even if it's not the main thing. Maybe it's behind the scenes. But you know what? You prove your faithfulness and you prove your heart by simply being true and being faithful in the thing that God has given you to do. And you know what? You become a trusted person. I know that man. I know his character. I know his heart. Because he's always faithful in doing whatever he's asked to do. He's always faithful. It doesn't matter if someone's watching. It doesn't matter if someone's looking. It doesn't matter if there's recognition. He's doing the very best job that he can possibly do with what he has. Any church is full of that. Faithful men. Obedient. Submissive, surrendered. People. Joshua's It was proven by his faithfulness, but secondly, it was proven by his fearlessness. Besides, we could read Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14. We don't really have the time to read all of that, but you know the story. It was where the spies were sent to spy out the land. And there was 12 of them. And they all saw the same things. 10 of them, though, when they saw the giants of the land with the other spies, what did they say? There's giants in the land, and we're as grasshoppers in their sight. They were full of fear. There's not. We can't do this. This is impossible. He saw the giants along with the other spies. But you know what Joshua saw? He saw that the Lord was greater. The Lord was bigger than the giants. In fact, let's just go to Numbers 14 and just read one quick passage here. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Where was Joshua's confidence? It was in the Lord. God was greater than the giants. He wasn't afraid of the giants. He wasn't afraid of his peers either, who disagreed with him. I like that part. I think it's going to happen more and more as the days go by. Because the Word of God says that the closer we come to the time of the Lord's return is a time of apostasy, a great falling away. And I think what's going to happen more and more as the days go by is that good men, once good men, begin to compromise and fall by the wayside. I don't want to be counted in that. There's going to come a time, and probably already is, when there's going to be some who disagree with you because you simply try to take a stand for what is right and what is true. And to take a stand and to, even in when your peers don't agree with you, oh, you're making a big deal out of this. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. They're gonna come at you. They're gonna make a deal out of it, and they're gonna blackball you or label you as divisive. But you know what? In those times, our confidence needs to be in the Lord. God is greater. We shouldn't fear what men say. We shouldn't fear what people say. We shouldn't fear those who disagree with us. It's not about us. It's not about my name. It's about the honor of the Lord. Joshua was proven. And you know what? The Lord will do the same for us. The Lord's going to prove us, test us. He doesn't call those to serve whom He does not test first. And there's some qualifications that God is looking for. He's looking for a humble, submissive, and obedient heart. Those are the things that God is looking for. Those are things that Joshua demonstrated. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me. Not only is he looking for a humble, submissive, obedient heart, but we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know what else God's looking for? He's looking for a separated heart. Not only a humble, submissive, obedient heart, but a separated heart too. This verse says that a man must purge himself from these. Purging yourself from these to be a vessel of honor that's prepared, that's ready to serve the Lord is an on-purpose thing with effort to purge yourself. Joshua, his courage was proved by his faithfulness. That testing, he proved himself faithful by his fearlessness. His trust was in the Lord, not in his own strength. But Joshua, secondly, his courage was also prepared. It was proved, but it was also prepared. It means that God used some things in Joshua's life to prepare him. First of all, we find that God used the Word of God. Back in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua 1, we read in verse 8, where God specifically says to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." The means that God used in Joshua's life was the Word of God. And His command was, this book can't depart from your mouth. You can't turn aside from it. What you need to do is meditate therein day and night, and then you need to do it. This is why the Word of God says, be not hearers only, amen, but doers of the Word of God. He used the Word of God, but he also used the witness of others to prepare Joshua. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, Deuteronomy 31, if we had the time, we could expound on these a little bit more. But God was preparing Joshua as He was testing him and proving him. He used the Word of God in his life, but He also used the witness of others. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Moses says to Joshua, listen, you need to go in the sight of all the people. You need to be strong and of a good courage. And you need to go with this people. And the Lord is the one who will go with you. The Lord is the one who will not fail you or forsake you. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Trust in the Lord. Why could Moses say that so confidently? Because Moses experienced the very same thing in his own life. The witness of Moses to Joshua encouraged Joshua. And listen, we're not born with spiritual courage. It takes the Word of God in our own life, in a habit, in a life of obeying the Word of God that causes us to grow and changes our life. It takes the Word of God to instill this quality in us and a firm conviction to stand on the Word of God. But you know what else is helpful? The testimony and the witness of others who've gone before us. That's encouraging. To see an example of a brother who's standing for truth, who's obeying God's Word, who has God's blessing in his life, to see that spiritual growth and to see God use, that's an encouragement. To see those who've gone before in the past who are still faithfully serving the Lord, who can testify to the hand of God, that's an encouragement to me. It prepares me for the days ahead that I don't know what's coming, but I know I can trust in God. Look, He did it for them. Thirdly, Joshua's courage was provided. Joshua's courage was provided. We go back to Joshua chapter 6 where we started with the walls of Jericho. And the question that we ask here is, how did Joshua see Jericho fall? His military might, his military prowess, a plan that he arranged himself in the arm of the flesh, the strength of the army. Hold your place here, but I'm going to read for you Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 30. I'll ask the question again, how did Joshua see Jericho fall? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Here's the answer to how Joshua saw the walls of Jericho fall. It was by believing and by obeying. Believing the Lord and obeying His command. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. It's already done. It's already accomplished. It's already happened. I've given you into thine hand Jericho. Listen, the real battle for Jericho wasn't when they were walking around the walls. The real battle for Jericho was back in chapter 5. Go back in chapter 5 and look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Here's where the battle for Jericho was, right here. When Joshua was by Jericho, what was he doing? Maybe he was out formulating a plan. I don't know. Maybe he was seeing, how is this going to happen? And the captain of the Lord's host shows up, and Joshua says, are you for us or for against us? He says, no, I'm not on either side. I'm here, and I'm the one who's going to take over. I'm the one who's going to tell you what to do. And what do we see Joshua do? We see him in humble submission bow before the Lord. That's where the real battle for Jericho is found. And listen, the application is this. God is never concerned with our problems. The giants of the land, the walls, etc. They're nothing to Him. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The problems, the walls, the giants, those are of no concern to God. He's more concerned with His servants. The walls of Jericho weren't a concern for the Lord. He was concerned with Joshua. Jericho was won when Joshua himself was won and submitted himself to the Lord. The same is true in our life. We find that when God calls, He equips. When God gives us something to do, He provides the means to do it. Joshua's courage was provided based on the promise of God and the Word of God. You've heard the statement before, the will of God will not lead where the grace of God cannot keep. The will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. God enables. We find in the book of Philippians, or maybe 2 Corinthians, I forget exactly, 2 Corinthians where we find it, but who is talking about is the people who were giving to the poor saints of Jerusalem. And they were giving above their measure and so on. But what do we note about them? They gave of themselves first unto the Lord. And the Lord gave the means and the ability to go beyond what they could ever do. The Lord looks for the following in His servants quickly. He looks for a surrendered attitude. We found that with Joshua in chapter 5 and verse 14, where he bowed and he worshipped the captain of the Lord's hosts. He's looking for a surrendered attitude. He's looking for a sanctified approach. In verse 15, we see the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. God wants us to be separated and sanctified. He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." He's looking for a submissive answer, because verse 15 says Joshua did so, just as he was commanded. Joshua's courage was provided him, but it was based on his giving of himself to the Lord. And then we see over time, over Joshua's life, that his courage was persistent, because Joshua carried his courage throughout his life. From the time of the spying out of the land all the way to the very last recorded speech of Joshua. Go to Joshua 24. In Joshua 24, in verse 14, the last recorded speech of Joshua, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua drew a line in the sand. And his choice was clear. Whether anybody else was going to stand with him or not, it didn't matter. He said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Listen, true courage stands for right, and it does right regardless of what anybody else does. Joshua witnessed victory in his life. Joshua had some defeat in his life. But through it all, he kept his eyes on the Lord. His courage was in the Lord. And you know what? On the Lord is where true courage really begins and where it ends. With the Lord, in our relationship to Him. That's why Paul said so confidently in Romans chapter 8, I'll just read it to you quickly, Romans 8, verse 31. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is why Paul said so confidently in all of these things, the persecution, the distress, the anguish, the peril, the sword, we are more than conquerors through Christ. It takes courage to live for the Lord in these days. It takes courage to be a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. It takes courage to say no to peer pressure or to stand for right. It takes courage to say no to our flesh. But it needs to be found in the Lord. God uses the Word of God to accomplish that in our life. And Joshua is a good example of the heart attitude that it requires. May the Lord help us. Amen? Let's not fear. Let's not compromise. Let's stand for truth in the power of God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for examples that are encouraging examples, like Joshua. And we may not have others who will stand. There's many who say they're Bible believers, and many who say that they're doctrinally sound, and many who will say that they love the Lord, and on paper maybe they look like they do. But in reality, it seems as though they're starting to waver, starting to let the standard down a little bit, maybe cave into peer pressure. Lord, help us to stand in the evil day. And having done all, stand therefore in the power of His might. And Lord, to be courageous, based on the promise of God and the Word of God, regardless of what anybody else does or what anybody else says, regardless of the climate, the culture, but Lord, to be like Joshua, to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, to have the courage to be a faithful witness for You, trusting in the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Have the courage to say no to my flesh, to be set apart, to be sanctified, separated unto the Lord. And Lord, I pray that You would cause us to be like Joshua, to be strong and of good courage in these days, that You might receive the glory that is due Your name from Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.